Sometimes we're so panicky, and this is the story right here. Peter got so panicky that he almost missed what God had for him. Panicky. Have you noticed many times, you know, when God come up, when Jesus come up, he had to say, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Why? Because when he showed up, usually he showed up when somebody was already afraid and they were having a hard time trying to even get through what he was doing. Amen? So here we go. Let's get your Bibles out. Turn to Matthew 14. We're going to finish what we started last week. Matthew chapter 14. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 14. Stand for the reading of the Word. Some of us are right here, right now. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say oh me. Amen. Here we go. We're going to start at chapter. Let's just start at chapter 20. Matthew 14, chapter 20. Verse 20. Matthew 14, verse 20. I'm sorry. My tongue was covering my eye teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying. Verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And when they had eaten, there was about 5,000 men besides women and children. In other words, there's maybe 15, 20,000 people were fed from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I was looking at a stadium the other night, and the stadium had 20,000 people in it. And it just hit me when I saw this stadium with 20,000 people. Jesus took 5 loaves, which were biscuits. It was a boy's lunch. Five loaves, or loaves and the fishes, and the sardines. So here he goes. He takes biscuits and sardines and feeds that whole arena. After he feeds that whole arena, then he's got 12 basketfuls left over. Can you just imagine what those guys were feeling when they saw this? Wow, I can't even imagine this. I've seen God do it many, many times for myself, but not to that extent. And wow, I can just imagine they were blown away. And so I love this. They see this amazing miracle. They see God do something that nobody has ever done before. They see something that no man has ever been capable of doing before, taking a little boy's lunch and feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, 15,000, 20,000 people. And after they saw this great miracle, after they saw this great move of God in their life, it says, and straightway, verse 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Only a few miles. You're only going to go a few miles. I'm going to send these people away. Y'all get in the boat and y'all get out here and y'all row your way over to the other side. They didn't have a fountain power boat. They couldn't just pop it up and go. You know, the Navy SEALs, you know that fountain power boats were the very first boats to hit Kuwait in Desert Storm. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Fountain power boats, the Navy SEALs had them at 150 miles an hour. You can get to the shore real quick. 150 miles an hour. These guys are rowing. So straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. When even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In other words, the opposition was so strong that they could not get where they were going. Oh, God, have mercy. Stop it right there. The adversity was so strong, they could not get where they were going, where Jesus told them to go, following Jesus' directions at his command. The opposition was so strong, they were stopped. They were halted. There's somebody here right now. I can say the same thing. You know, I was on the way to do what Jesus said. I'm doing what he said. I'm living his word. And as I'm trying, they got so strong, I can't go forward. I can't go backwards. I'm just stuck. Anybody here felt that way? Amen? I can tell by the looks on some of y'all's faces, you may be there right now. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Y'all say beginning. It weren't sunk yet, but it was close. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Not when he got to Jesus. When he got to Jesus, Jesus just got him up and helped him back to the ship in the middle of the storm. And then they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father. We know there's nothing impossible for you. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint each person here. Meet the need in every person's life right now. We know, God, the needs are great, but we know that you're greater. Help us not fear the storm. Help us not fear the repercussions of the wind. Help us, God, to move forward in you anyway. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen. Way down and get somebody a high five, low five, no five, three and a half, excuse me, four and a half, four and a quarter, and say, God's got this. You know, I was just sitting there, and I was thinking, this morning I happened to find some of these little bands that I had with Bible scriptures on them. And it's amazing the one I put on his hand, because the one right here says, For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Had on this hand, I was playing my bass, and while I was playing my bass, I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, we need something good today. We need you to come in and give hope and give encouragement. We need you, Lord, to touch everything we do, to let it be something to make a difference in people's lives. And I looked down, and while I was playing, I saw this scar that's shaped like an S. You know where that scar came from? I was on the way to do a wedding many, many, many years ago to this church. On the way to do the wedding, a car came across the line in a curve and hit. He grazed the car in front of him. He hit me head on. But if it hadn't grazed that car, he hit me like this. But because he grazed that car, I mean, just enough as you could tell it's been hit. That's it. Knocked off the side mirror. That was it. Grazed just enough so he hit me head on this way. He hit me this way. And when he hit me this way, it tore the car all to pieces. I spun around 190 foot hit the van behind me, and those girls were in bad shape. I mean, he hit the van, and there was two fatalities of two people that hit me. They were killed on the impact, and the two girls, their backs were messed up. And when I saw, I couldn't get out of the car, and when I saw the fire or the smoke, it's amazing how I got out of that car. And so I found another gear and got out of that car, and I was sitting on the side of the road, and all I could hear was, And they said, What in the world? I said, What's going on? I said, I got to get my head together. Of course, I had a concussion, and I got my whole side was bruised, but my arm got cut because the glass was knocked out of the car, and my arm was cut in the S. I don't know if that was for sold, salvaged, saved, whatever it was, that S. And while I was playing my bass, I was saying, God, we need you to just wrap us in your arms today. And I looked down and I saw that S. He says, Son, I never stopped holding you from the last time. Wow. Isn't that awesome? God's got us. Amen. You know, there was a father on the beach with his children when his four-year-old son ran up to him and grabbed his hand and led him to the shore where a seagull lay dead in the sand. He said, Daddy, what happened to him? He said, He died and went to heaven. The little boy thought for a moment and said, Well, what happened? Did God throw him back? Did God throw him down? Have you ever felt like God threw you down? Have you ever felt like God's actions didn't make any sense? Have you ever felt like, oh no, here we go again. God, last time when you showed up, it was powerful. Now this time, it ain't looking good. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me, God. I feel like you threw me back down. Wow. That happens to many people all the time. I hear that in counseling. I hear that all the time. You know, you feel like God is there, but you can't see Him, you can't touch Him, you don't know where He is at. So when the bottom drops out, we started last week, and I'm just going to have that just a couple of slides from last week so we can have some clarity in this thing. This passage speaks of unstable times. Your vision is obscure, your footing's unsure, security is insecure. It was collective because everybody was suffering in that boat. But also Peter was the one. He was going to step out and see what was going on. So there was two storms, actually. So the bottom had actually dropped out, but there was two storms the same day. Circumstances on the outside, and then there was the circumstances on the inside. And that disrupted their peace. And so here it is. Again, this is just from last week, and then we're going in to the five things. And these times, it's useless to focus on the unsure things. And that's what we do. We're notorious as humans to focus on the unsure things when you're in a storm. When you've lost a loved one. When you've lost your job. When things are going south and you just can't seem, you've got the breath knocked out of you and you're trying to get up but you can't breathe and you're wondering what in the world is going on. And you start focusing on unsure things. And when you focus on the unsure things, it just heightens your fear and it just gets you frustrated. And you don't feel any hope. But it's useful if you can just focus on the sure things. It'll calm your fear. It'll relieve your frustration. It brings hope. A lot of times when I find myself in a situation that I don't know exactly what to do, sitting at Bethany's bedside, I did this so many times, and going through all the things you go through in just life, period, is I learned when my world is turning upside down. How many's ever had vertigo? Vertigo is where'd you go? Woo! You know, well, when vertigo kicks in, you try to find something solid to look at. If you look at what's spinning around with you, you just spin more and more and more, and you get sick at your stomach, and we'll leave it right there. And the same way happens, if you get seasick. You're standing on the boat, you get seasick, and you start looking at the boat and all this stuff, and it just gets bad. What you got to do if you're on a boat and you're seasick is look at the shore and focus on the shore. If you've got vertigo, find something solid that's not going to move and focus on that. And eventually, it'll die down. So I've learned that too. So when things are going crazy around me, I can't trust in relationships. I can't trust in anything. I can't trust in my own wisdom. What I do is I find the sure thing to focus on. And what is that? God's Word. I will hold on to His Word. I will look at His Word. I will claim His Word. I will hold on to His Word. And when I do that, it calms my fear, my frustration. It brings hope. So there's five things. Last week we started on the first one, so I'm not going to go way into it like I did last week. Just one slide, just so you can get some clarity here. Five assurances in the storm. Number one, I want you to see this. The Lord brought them there. Well, thank you, Lord. Have you ever had something happen to you that was so bad? These guys now, remember, immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. This is not an accident. This is not a blind move. God didn't go, well, I didn't see that coming. God didn't say, well, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to make it. God already knew that this was going to happen, and God already prepared them by letting them see the miracle beforehand. If I can take loaves and fishes and feed 20,000 people, I can help you in your storm. So again, you got to watch this. You got to see the timing. God knows what He's doing, and God knows how to take care of business. Amen? So it's not an accident. It's not a blind move. Jesus looked at this thing. He said, you know what? You've already seen what I can do in crisis management. You know, I was talking with somebody that said we'd rather be proactive than it's easier to be proactive in the storm than to be in crisis management after the storm. Well, sometimes you don't see the storm coming. God does this, so you have to totally, y'all say totally, totally rely on Him. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust what's going on. The storm is about to strike, and so it's test time. It's the test after the lesson. The lesson was, look at what I can do. There's nothing impossible for me. I can take little or nothing and make something amazing out of it. So now, get in the boat. I know the storm's coming, but I want you to see even more now. Will you really trust me when you hit that storm? So first, the Lord brought them there. Number two, the Lord sought God for them there. Then there, Jesus prayed for his followers. You see, he seemed absent. How many at times you're in trouble and it seems like God is absent? I've seen it. I felt it. Felt like God was absent or felt like he was unconcerned. But the truth of the matter is, when God sent them out, he went up. Wow. Think about something now. He sent them out and he went up. Some of y'all right now, you're on the way out and you're wondering what's happening. Don't realize, although he seems unconcerned and seems like he's absent, he's gone up and he is interceding to the Father for you. The Bible even tells us in Hebrews, I love this, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, he's gone up. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our doubting times. You know, sometimes I give Doubting Thomas a run for his race. How about you? If the truth be known, it wouldn't be just Doubting Thomas, it would be Doubting David. You put your own name in there. Amen. Feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he was in a car. You know, it's amazing to me. I was just asking the guys earlier, why do we call Good Friday Good Friday? Supposedly, that's the day, I personally think it was Thursday, but still, Good Friday's fine. It's the day that Jesus hung on the cross and died. Now, during the time it was going on, it wasn't good. During the storm, it was not good. Mary's at the foot of the cross crying for her son and watching all of his life blood flow from his body after he was beat unrecognizable. He's beat so bad that his guys even ran and hid for days. What's so good about it? This was the most horrible storm the disciples would ever have to face up to this point. But we call it good. Why do we call it Good Friday? Because we know that Sunday's coming. The disciples didn't know that. Jesus endured the cross because he knew Sunday was coming. But his disciples, his mom, none of them knew that Sunday was coming, and so it was not good. But after they know the end of the story, then it's called Good Friday. Some of y'all in here right now, you're going through things and you haven't seen Sunday yet. You don't even know Sunday's coming. And so you're seeing the storm and you're seeing the pain and you're hurting and you're thinking, God, how you just don't even know where I'm at. You're not watching me. You don't see. And God says, it's Friday right now, but Sunday is coming. And when your Sunday comes, you'll look back years later at that Friday and you'll learn to say, it was good for me. It was good for me that I went through that storm, because through that I learned something I couldn't learn any other way. The first thing is, I learned that you're faithful no matter how I feel. You are faithful. Now look. Let us therefore come boldly. That means don't you walk in there backwards. Don't walk in there with your head held down. Come boldly to the throne of grace. What's grace? Grace is something you do not deserve. You may be in a storm of your own causing. You may have even helped out in this storm. This will be a storm that you have you don't even know why it's happening, but you can come to God, to the throne of grace, and find help. Wow, isn't that cool? You will obtain mercy and find grace and to help in the time of need. Now let's just look up here at a great example of his prayer. Luke 22:31-32. He says, Peter said, I pray for you, that your faith fail not. He said, but when you're converted, I want you to go strengthen the brethren. Can you imagine Jesus telling you that? He just told him, I'll die for you, Lord. There's nothing I won't do for you. And so, the Lord says, yeah. I can imagine that. Sometimes I throw up those prayers. I tell God what I'm going to do, and he looks down and goes, ha, ha, ha. Can you imagine God doing that to you? You're going, Lord, I will do this if you do that. He'll go, yeah, right. He said, what happened last time? I did it and you didn't. Or remember last time? Or I know you good enough. I know, David, you just, look. I know. You might not, but I know. So you don't make God laugh. Tell him your plans. Tell him how you're going to do something. So first, that there's the power in his prayer. It says, if prayers that are faith will not fail. But not only would prayer fail, it didn't mean that he wouldn't have his moments. Okay? Listen carefully. I pray for you that your faith fail not, but when you are converted, go strengthen the brethren. Did not mean that he wouldn't have trying times. Did not mean that he wouldn't come to the point where he weren't even sure if he trusted God anymore. What it meant was God wouldn't leave him at that point because he wouldn't give up. Eventually he wouldn't give up and he would turn back. So also, it's prophetic because it says when you are converted, when your weakness is turned to strength, when everything that was turning against you now seems to be turning your way, when you're converted, what Sunday is there, then go strengthen the brethren. So see, it's protection too. It's only temporary. When you're converted, productive, you strengthen the brethren. You know what this is? This is love on its knees. Wow. Love on its knees. You know, I sit back sometimes and I see stuff people are going through, and I know stuff that we all go through. How many here has a perfect job? Perfect job. Perfect. No problems. How many here's got the perfect family? No problems. How many here has got the perfect life? No problems. If you raise your hand, we're going to pray for that lying spirit to be cast out of you. Do you know, we talk about dysfunctional families and dysfunctional jobs and dysfunctional whatever. If the truth be known, don't get mad at me. If the truth be known, every family has its dysfunction. Dysfunctionalism. Every family. But what we have done is we've learned to be comfortable in our dysfunction. Don't throw tomatoes at me right now. If you do, make sure they're peeled and seedless. Everybody has some type of dysfunction in their life. But in our own lives, we've learned to function in our dysfunction. We've learned to become comfortable in our dysfunction. And so sometimes we don't even recognize it. And so God says, I'm going to get you out of this. I'm going to help you to be uncomfortable in your dysfunction so that you can do something more for me. And so what he does is, just like with Peter, Peter says, I'll die for you, Lord. He says, yeah, right. Tonight, you're going to deny you know me three times before the cock crows. So I'm going to get you out of your dysfunction. Part of Peter's dysfunction was his and his ego. Amen? So God was taking care of that. So he prayed for them there. Number three, he caught them there. The Lord came to his own, verse 25, just in time at the darkest hour. He wasn't too early. He wasn't too late. These are experienced fishermen. These guys know what it's like because over in that area, storms, because the mountains were around them, the storms, they couldn't even see the storms coming. And many times while they're out on the water, the storms would hit them without any notice. And when it would swoop down, sometimes it would be so bad that it would capsize the boat. That's why most people, when they went fishing, only fished around the shoreline. That way, when the storms came, they could go on and get out. And I remember the very first time Jesus saw his disciples and met them. He said, I want you to launch out into the deep for a drought. Launch out into the deep. But we go around the edges because the storms come around so bad, we don't need to get out there and we can't get back in to protect ourselves. But he had them go out into the deep. Now he's done it again. I need you to go all the way across this time. So he came to his own just in time at the darkest hour, victorious over their greatest fear to date. Their greatest fear to date. Some of us, we've overcome so many things. Certain times we think, well, we got this now. We got it. So God allows something a little bit stronger, and a little bit harder. Well, we got this, Lord, but the only way you can grow is to get a little bit harder and a little bit stronger. It's got to be hitting you pretty strong in order for you this look. So watch this. What they feared was being swallowed up by the raging sea. But he reveals he's got victory over. He walked on the water. Can you imagine that? Can you see him walking on the water? Wow, isn't that powerful? Let me ask you a question today. What are you afraid of? Well, what's got you going? What kind of fear has got you? You know, in Gethsemane, Jesus was there in Gethsemane. The Bible says that he knew what was coming. And so as he's at Gethsemane, he's praying about this thing, and he's asking God, if it's any way possible, let it pass away from him, pass over him, because he said, I know what this cup of wrath is going to be, so let it pass over. But he also knew to fulfill his Father's will, he had to drink of that cup. Now, Gethsemane means crushing. It means to be literally crushed in the wine press. So let's just watch this now. There is no oil without squeezing. There's no wine without pressing the grapes. There's no fragrance without crushing the flowers. And there's no real joy without sorrow. You may be in the middle of your storm right now and you feel like you're being crushed. You feel like you're being torn from limb to limb. But you know what's actually happening is God's honing you and developing you and making something in you that you can't learn in a book. It's something that you can't just pick up and there it is. You know, you didn't just fall off the turnip truck and land in it. Amen? So if you're going through a storm, the bottom seems to be dropping out. Consider that the storm may be God's will for you. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Like I don't have enough to think about. Now I got a storm crushing me. God knows. God knows. You know, I looked the other day. I was looking at Lee and looking online. I thought I had good old ways to go and found out that I had to double up on the class, but I'm graduating December 14th. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. I'm not going to Lee that I know of. I'm doing this thing a different way. I'm going to actually have it presented to me two different ways. I'm going to come here because y'all have been with me through this whole thing, and somebody's going to present my body armor cap and gown. I don't know, but then when I go and y'all can present my diploma to me, but then I'm going to go to DC's house, and DC and Daniel are going to present my diploma to me, which I think is awesome, absolutely off the hook, awesome. My two boys. You know, handing my diploma. That's that right there is worth $1 million to me. You know, but the point I'm trying to make is I was looking and I was thinking, good God. Last night I was writing Friday night, I was trying to hurry up before the deadline. And I was writing an eight-page essay. And I was writing it and I was writing it and I was writing it and then citing it and writing it and citing it and writing it and citing it. I said, God, is it ever going to end? Then it hit me. Yeah, December 14th. Amen. Does that mean school's out? No, it just means Lee's out. School's still in. Amen. There's still more stuff I got to do, but that part of this journey is going to be gone for right now. Amen. Some of y'all's journey, you don't even realize how, look, it was until I looked up in there the other day and realized how close I was. I thought, man, I got, look, I'll be here 6 more months. No, I'm not. I'm not. Some of y'all are thinking it'll never end. It'll never end. And if you only knew, if you could only see, if you had like Lee has, a little thing you can pop up and look at your classes left. And when I get through those classes, I get that degree. Wow. If some of y'all could just look right now, you're thinking this has been going on for years, years, years. I've been at least since 2015. I can't wait to get out of that place. Some of y'all been in this thing for years. You're going, am I ever going to get out of this storm? If you could just, God would open that book and let you look and go, oh yeah, it ends next Friday. It ends in a month from now. Then you get excited about the storm because you know the storm is getting ready to end. God may be crushing you, but remember, God knows how to mold you and to shape you. Amen? Here we go. I love this. There's a difference between school and life. In school, you're taught a lesson and then given a test. in life you're given a test that teaches you a lesson. Wow. And sometimes you're given the test, then the lesson. Wow. How many's been tested in you lately? I can put up both hands and both feet, but I hit the floor. God knows what he's doing. Number four, Jesus taught them there. Jesus helps us grow through trials. He said, Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. And he said, well, come on. Come on. So Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came to Jesus, and that was the end of the story. Everything lived happily ever after. When he realized that by watching Jesus and listening to his words in the middle of a storm, he began to do the impossible. He was overcoming the storm. But while he was overcoming the storm, he got his eyes off the overcomer and got his eyes on what was overcoming him. And he began to sing. Wow. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord did. So watch this. A picture of divine power meeting human need. Get ready. We're just getting ready to close right now. DC, you might as well go and get something ready. Here we go. Number five. Jesus halted the storm there. Jesus will eventually bring you peace. The Bible says immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. Ye of little faith, why do you doubt? And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Jesus halted two storms that day. He halted the weather, the storm in the weather, and he halted the one within in the disciples. We have no need to fear when the bottom drops out. Even though you think Jesus isn't there and doesn't see you, he's watching. He's watching carefully. He's directing the storm. And as he directs the storm, you know, Eddie and I were talking. I remember, I know it was from other people too. Other people were doing it too. One day we had this hurricane coming. It was back when I was living in Aurora. We had the hurricane coming, and it was a bad hurricane. They said it was going to be hit. It's going to really, really, really be bad. And so I was actually getting my stuff up, getting stuff packed up so I could go further inland. And I can't remember quite how the story goes, but Eddie come up, and so me and Eddie, we marched around the house seven times. And we said, Lord, we've got to see protection. We want to see protection for everybody in this storm. And I come back in the house. I felt that power of God. I still might be telling the story quite right. Eddie has to tell it the right way. But I felt the peace of God. And I remember coming in the house and told Beverly, put the stuff back up. Just put it back up. We're not going anywhere. And turned on the television, and it said that hurricane had switched past and went down to South Carolina instead of North Carolina. And it's just amazing. There's times we go through storms. There's times where God diverts the storm. Either way about it, both of them had a very strong effect on me. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. And a while ago, playing that bass and looking at that S car on my arm and knowing that I was wearing this Jeremiah 29:11 on this wrist. Wow. That just fired me up. I was ready to run around this place about 25 times, but I'm afraid some of y'all couldn't catch me. Amen. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I want to ask this morning, before I ask anything else, every head bowed, every eye closed, not going to call you out, not going to make a spectacle of you, not going to make an example. Whatever we do, you can do it right from your pew. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that's the first storm that you need calmed in your life. You need to have a Savior that you can call on when you're in the storm. If you're here today and nobody's looking around, every eye's closed, your heads are bowed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, while nobody's looking, would you just slip up that hand quickly? I don't know him, but I want to know him. Maybe you're here today. And you've kind of slid back from where you were. Yeah, at one time you were strong with God. At one time you knew Him. You knew He had you. You knew this was all under control. But because of storms and because of other things, because you thought Jesus was distant and was not watching and was not caring, you let go. And you know that you need a stronger relationship with God. You need to get back into good graces with God like you were before. Nobody looking around. Every head bowed, just slip that hand up. I need to get back where I was. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them right now. Maybe you're here right now and you're just in the storm. The bottom's dropped out. You don't understand it. You did what Jesus told you to do. You were not operating in the flesh. You were operating in the spirit. You listened to what God said, and while you were obeying what God said, here comes the storm. It's terrible. You can't go forward. You can't go back. You're kind of stuck. And Satan says that God orchestrated all of this just to tear you up. He don't love you. He don't care about you. He's unattached. He's detached. He's away from you. That's not true. If you're here right now and I'm talking to you about this now, you're in the storm. It's bad. And you're needing hope and help, and you're needing to feel Him one more time, and nobody else is looking around. We just stick that hand up and say, I need it. I need it. Hands are going up, y'all. Hands are going up. Father, let's all pray together, okay? Let's pray together, everybody. Father, I need you. You see the storm, the fury of the waves, the fury of the wind is holding me back. I thought I was following your word, but even then, the storm came. It hurts. The crushing tears me apart. But I trust you, God. Right now, help me to hold on to you, to trust you, even though I can't feel you, even though I can't see you. Help me to trust you and know that there is a day coming when I'll look back and say this was good. I trust you, Lord. Bathe me in your comfort. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you want to come in and be prayed for, or you need to pray for something, the altars are open. You can come and pray at the altar. God has got this. God has got this. God has got this. If you haven't been coming to Tuesday nights, I challenge you to come, because one thing Tuesday nights are doing is to help us get our eyes off the storm so that God can talk to us. Sometimes we're so wrapped up in the storm that we can't even hear God. We can't see Him. And this stuff on Tuesday night is to help you get your mind focused off of the storm and on Him. We're just getting started. It may even seem a little crazy. That's all right. We've been thought of crazy before, haven't you? Amen? It's okay. But we're going to start getting into some deep stuff. But to get to the deep stuff, we got to first get you ready for the deep stuff. Amen? Our hearts and minds clear. Anybody tell y'all guys are looking good today? With the exception of a few of you, really are looking good. God's got this. Brother Benny, dismiss us in prayer, please.